acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 48, Home Sweet Home, Tuesday, July 29th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate, and you can find photos and show notes for this episode on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, and double happiness. It was great to travel to Nashville for the Super Summer Knit Together, and it was also great to return home. Since returning home, there has been a lot of wildlife activity here at Yinhu. There is a house wren who has taken up residence in a very new birdhouse that Samuel just put up a few weeks before we left. I checked this morning, and there are a few eggs, three that I could see in the birdhouse. So we'll be able to observe the birds as they search for food for the young. And sometimes we're even lucky enough to see the fledglings as they learn how to fly. There have been a number of merganser juveniles laying around in the creek below our house. They get together in very large packs, sometimes 15 to 20 ducks at a time, and they all seem to be the younger ducks, and they flap around in the creek and they swim very quickly underwater. It's very playful, and they're incredibly noisy, and it lasts for just a few minutes, and then they all continue down the stream. Just as we returned from Nashville, I saw something down by the creek that I have never seen before, which is a beaver. I thought I saw it one evening at dusk. I saw a big branch swimming slowly up water. And I thought about what kind of animal might be doing that and pushed it from my mind because there wasn't enough light for me to see clearly. And then the next morning, sure enough, there was a beaver swimming in the clear water so I could see the distinctive tail. It climbed up off on the bank on the opposite side of the creek, and it munched around down there for a while and then headed back upstream. So I've only seen it twice. I don't even know if it was the same animal. And I haven't been able to detect in the part of the creek I can see from the house whether or not there is a dam in the works upstream. But I can't imagine that a beaver would just be idly swimming up and down. There must be some kind of industrious activity going on, which is a little bit unsettling for me. And this, like I said, we've never seen beaver here along this stretch of the creek. So I'm wondering what that will bring and if there will be any environmental impact from having beaver in the neighborhood. As usual, the great blue heron is making its elegant presence known along the creek, and I've had quite a few bear sightings since the summer began. Just a few mornings ago, I was getting ready for my walk and waiting for my neighbor because we walk together a couple times a week, and out of the underbrush and crossing the road and walking up her driveway was a very large black bear. And I think it would stand above my waist level if we were standing side by side. Thankfully, we weren't standing side by side, but I called her up and said, "Hey, there's a bear heading up your driveway." And then when we were on our walk, we saw some people sitting on their porch and they said, "Hey, there was a bear, just went this way. It looked like it was a juvenile bear." Then later that evening, I was looking on Facebook and Instagram, and on the same day, a couple other people had posted photographs of bears in their neighborhoods. So I'm not sure if it was a change in weather. There was a sudden temperature reduction after some rainfall. Maybe that brought the bear out, or maybe it was just all a big coincidence. I don't know, but it seems like there were a lot of bear sightings within a very short period of time. On the back porch are two projects that I've been working on for quite a while. One is Nympholydia, a shawl by Melinda Vermeer. This shawl design has welts in a neutral color and then wedges in a gradually changing gradient yarn. So I used Cascade 220 Sport in black for the welts, just something very plain and simple. And then I used a skein of hand-spun yarn that I just spun up recently. It's Pollination, and it was dyed by Patricia of BZB Fibers. And this gradient went from a very pale oatmeal color with pops of purple and pink to a gradually intensifying vibrant green. And then it ended with a bit of aqua blue. I managed to knit 40 wedges in this pattern because I was determined to use up every bit of my hand spun. I wanted to get the true effect of the gradient hand spun, and in order to do that, I needed to work through the entire skein. So even though the shawl was becoming quite large and I was getting, frankly, a little bit tired of knitting on it, I kept going because I wanted to realize the full set of colors. I did make a few adjustments to the pattern, as quite a few folks mentioned on Ravelry. It was nice to widen and deepen the wedges a little bit. That also helped me use my yarn a bit more quickly in the pattern. So I have put notes about this on my pattern page in Ravelry. I used a US size 6 set of needles, and instead of binding off as the pattern suggested, I did create another welt at the very edge of the pattern and used a Russian bind off to keep it nice and stretchy. This completed shawl has a wingspan of over 7 feet. It's very soft because the hand spun is very soft and fluffy. And it's very pretty. It's a little bit of a strange shape. And I wish that I had understood the pattern a little bit better when I started, because I might have adjusted the shape a little bit. But it's certainly luxurious to wrap around your neck a couple of times, and it has that butterfly-like wing that is suggested by the name of the pattern. Again, that is Nympholydia, a shawl design by Melinda Vermeer. The second completed project is my Tour de Fleece project. I had a goal of spinning every day for at least 20 minutes, which I was able to accomplish, and I also wanted to complete all of the spinning of wildflower batlings that I bought from Hobbledehoy at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. This was 2 ounces, I think it was 7 or 8 little batlings, little bundles of fiber in various pale colors. And my objective was to spin them on my Jenkins Turkish drop spindle. The reason for this is that in the month since I have finished the school year, I have only been at home for about one total week. I've spent the majority of that time on the road and away from home, and the majority of Tour de Fleece on the road and away from home. So it was going to be impractical for me to lug my wheel around everywhere, and I wanted to work on getting better at drop spindling. So I decided that this was a nice small project, just 2 ounces of fiber to spin with my drop spindle, and I was able to do all of that. I plied the little turtles that I took off of my Turkish spindle on my Louette spinning wheel when I was home, and I just finished up that project and washed and skeined the yarn, and I have 416 yards of a 2-ply yarn that is between a lace weight and a light fingering. It's really beautiful yarn. I love the colors together. It's not something that I would normally pick, but I think the colors together are very pleasing. So I need to think about what sort of a project would be appropriate for that very special, very carefully spun yarn. Together, these two projects have been entered into the Knit Girls Stash Dash. And this is a challenge to spin the equivalent of a 5K, which is 5,468 yards, by August 7th. For some reason, I thought the deadline was mid-August, and I was wrong. So right now, including the 417 yards of lace weight and the 866 yards I used for Nymphalidia, I am still only totaling 4,279 yards. So that gives me nearly 1,200 yards to go with just over a week. I don't know if I can do it. I decided to work on a weaving project because I've had my loom warped for a weaving project since last October, and I never got to it. That should be pretty quick to complete, but then I don't know what else I could knit in the space of a week that would allow me to achieve that much yardage. So I'll have to think and plan carefully and see what I can come up with to win at Stash Dash. On the front porch are 2 different craft alongs. One is the Yarns at Yinhu craft along called the Asymmetrical. It starts on August 1st, and all Yarns at Yinhu listeners are invited to crochet, knit, weave, sew a project that is asymmetrical in some way. It could be asymmetrical in design, in structure. It could even be asymmetrical in its use of color. And there are nearly 2 months for folks to work on that project, and a number of fantastic prizes. I will be opening the finished object thread on August 1st, and there's also a chatter thread that's going strong. All 5 winners of Simone Eich's patterns from Woolworth have claimed their prizes, so that's great news. Congratulations to you all, and I look forward to knitting along with you. I will be knitting the Tiffany pattern. I have finally decided that I will knit Tiffany, and I'm selecting yarn from my stash to knit on that. I will also be participating, starting August 1st, in a spin-along with the Jenkins Spindlers. I had so much fun during Tour de Fleece participating on the Jenkins Turkish Spindle team and watching all of the progress and seeing incredibly gorgeous yarn on these beautiful handcrafted spindles. That when I found out there was a fall mini spin along, I decided I would take part in that too. So I'm going to be working on a braid of fiber. It's Polworth silk from Three Waters Farm because I had a plan to spin some Three Waters Farm fiber for Tour de Fleece and I didn't get to it. So this will be my opportunity to work on some Polworth silk from Three Waters Farm. And the rule for this spin along is that you need to use Jenkins Turkish spindles, obviously, and also that your fiber have some kind of silk content. This beautiful braid is called Rooftop. That's the color, and it's mostly muted grays and purples with pops of orange, green, and white. That doesn't sound very appealing, but it really does look like rooftops in a beautiful city that are glazed with rainwater and there's kind of a fog rolling in. It's very pretty. So I'll be participating in that and working to spin at least 2 ounces, potentially all 4 ounces, by the end of September. Ever expanding skill set. Unfortunately, I've been away from home and unable to do a lot of cooking at home for the Bulk Bins cook along during the month of July, and it's really too bad because I enjoy cooking with quinoa quite a bit. So this week I tried to make up for lost time and develop a new quinoa recipe. It's actually a very simple recipe idea. In the summertime, I frequently make a Thai-inspired noodle salad, and I translated that into something that would work well with quinoa and that would be flexible enough that you could include all variety of fresh summer vegetables in your salad. This could be made into a main course by adding chicken or adding tofu, and it's really simple. Fresh, crunchy, and delicious. So you can find the recipe for that on the Yarns at Yinhu website. I want to thank everyone who has been participating all month by submitting recipes and recipe ideas to the thread for the Bulk Bins Cook Along. In the next podcast episode, I will draw for the July winner, who will win a pattern prize on Ravelry. And August will feature nuts for the Bulk Bins Cook Along. We'll be cooking and baking and experimenting with nuts throughout the month of August. Another way that I have been expanding my skill set is to develop the content of the Yarns at Yinhu website a little bit further. The pages that I've had so far have just been the main homepage with an ongoing list of the episodes, and there's an about page, and then there's a page that's essentially a link to all of my projects on Ravelry. So I thought that was a little bit limited, and now that it's been nearly a year since I started the website, I have been working on developing 2 additional pages. One is a Bulk Bins Cook Along page, and on that page are thumbnail photographs of all of the recipes I've developed for the Bulk Bins Cook Along. If you click on the thumbnail, you are taken to the episode where that particular recipe is featured. This isn't all of the recipes I've talked about. They're simply the things I have developed. So right now there are 9 different recipes linked on that page, and I thought that would be a handy feature for folks who would just like to reference a particular recipe, but you don't remember what episode or even what month that was featured. The other page that I've been developing is a page about meditative spindling practice. Throughout the Tour de Fleece, when I was working furiously towards my goals, I also tried to slow down and use drop spindling as a meditative practice. I had seen a few folks on the Jenkins Turkish Spindle team making posts about meditative or healing practice with spindling, and I was struck by that. So I decided that no matter what spindling I might be doing throughout the day, I would take 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and just focus on breathing and focus on being centered and quiet and spin as a meditative practice. This grew to be very interesting and exciting and restorative also for me. So I thought I would compile some resources and put together a page that might be useful to others. So you can find that on the Yarns at Yinhu website. I'm particularly grateful to Knitting Nettle for an ongoing conversation about this practice and for her encouragement. Thank you so much. Double happiness. Well, today marks 1 week since Samuel and I have returned from Nashville. We were a little bit crazy in trying to get all the way from Nashville back to the Delaware Water Gap in one go. But once we got on the road, we just didn't want to be anywhere but home. And so we made the trip all at once. And since I've come home, certainly I've missed all of the energy and excitement and the great conversation that took place at the Super Summer Knit Together. And Samuel and I have both been missing the incredible music and the great food that we encountered in Nashville. But we brought the terrific weather with us, and it's been wonderfully cool and sunny here. So it's been nice to enjoy the out of doors and to relive the events of SSK by listening to and watching a number of the podcasters who were in attendance. So I've been trying to pace myself and just review one or two each day and experience the power and the camaraderie and fellowship of the Super Summer Knit Together with some fantastic folks that I met in Nashville. In particular, I would like to mention Amy of Ross Farm Fibers, who has debuted a new audio podcast in the past week, and I believe she just put her second episode up today. And I'd like you to direct your attention to it if you're interested in a new audio podcast. It's called Transient Wool Merchants, and she talks with another fiber arts friend of hers and colleague about their knitting projects, of course, and also a little bit more in depth about the business of working with fiber arts and selling products to knitters and crafters. They're a lot of fun, and I think you'll enjoy it. And it's nice to hear Amy's voice after getting to know her a little bit at the Super Summer Knit Together. One of the most gratifying aspects of visiting Nashville was the opportunity to meet and chat on a couple of different occasions with Paula of Knitting Pipeline. This podcast, Yarns at Yinhu, was largely developed from my immense admiration of Paula and her podcast. Until I heard Knitting Pipeline, I really didn't have a clear idea of what I could do with a podcast or how I could combine various aspects of my life together in one podcast that would make sense. And when I started listening to Knitting Pipeline, it became clear to me that I could do something along the lines of what Paula was doing and just combine the things that I love the most and things I felt really passionate about, and that people would understand where I was coming from with that. So it was just such a joy to talk with Paula and receive her encouragement and to hear her say very complimentary things about Yarns at Yinhu to other folks who were attending the retreat. So I'd like to give a special welcome and hello to Super Summer Knit Together participants who may have heard of Yarns at Yinhu at the retreat and who may be listening for the first time. I really appreciate your friendship and your fellowship at the retreat and online, and it is a pleasure to knit and to craft with you. Of course, it's also fun to play with all of the new acquisitions that I made at the market and during my time in Nashville. So I wanted to mention a few things in particular. One is that I took a photograph of all of my retreat purchases and goodies, and I put that up on the website for you to see. I was incredibly fortunate in being a door prize winner during both the opening and closing ceremonies. I mentioned already that on the first night, on Wednesday evening, I won a pattern kit from Nelken Designs, from Laura Nelken. And that is for the boutine collar, which is a beaded necklace. And during the closing ceremonies, I won a spindle by Dawning Dreams, who is Dawn from Colorado, as well as a blended fiber bat. And since returning from Nashville, I've been able to spin on that drop spindle quite a bit, and it's a really enjoyable spin. Dawn has a very nice design on her drop spindle. It's kind of a steampunk, eclectic kind of design. Very easy for beginners and not too heavy, which I think is important for a beginner drop spindle, because it's unbelievable how heavy even just 1 ounce can be when you're manipulating something in ways that your body is not used to moving. So I think that in order for people to find spindling enjoyable, it's a good idea to start with something that is lightweight. And maybe a lot of student spindles are heavier so that they're more durable. But I think for adults who want to begin a spindling practice and who can be trusted with a delicate object, it's really worth, you know, forgoing the student spindle and investing in something a little more expensive, so that you can really decide if you enjoy the practice of spindling. And if you're interested in doing that, I highly recommend Dawning Dreams drop spindles, and I have provided a link to her Etsy site in the show notes.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider liking the show's Facebook page or leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Yes, subway nature thing. Yes, mighty fine nature thing. Yes, mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Kurt sings a bird out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.